The coastal city of Navotas in Metro Manila is known as the commercial fishing hub of the Philippines. But on June 10, 2009, what policemen fished out of the waters some distance away from the Navotas shoreline was a steel box that had a considerable weight, not just because it was made of metal, but also because it had the cadaver of a young woman cemented inside. You're listening to Stories After Dark, a Philippine true crime and mystery podcast powered by Anchor and released exclusively on Spotify with new episodes out every Friday. This is the story of Ruby Rose Barameda, who went missing in 2007 and 2 years later reportedly turned up dead in a steel drum that was thrown deep into the sea. Listener discretion is advised due to the graphic nature of this story. Ruby Rose Saison Barameda was born on August 14, 1980, the youngest of the three children of Robert and Asuncion Barameda. At the age of 19, she married Manuel Jimenez III, or simply III, who was from a very wealthy family in Las Piñas, Muntinlupa. Ruby and III both reportedly had extramarital affairs, but it was only in 2007, after two children and 7 years of marriage, that the couple would separate. On January 21, 2007, there was a physical altercation between Ruby and III, which left Ruby with bruises on her face. She left her husband that same day and attempted to bring their two daughters with her, but III's father, attorney Manuel Jimenez Jr., requested for the children to be allowed to join them at the wedding ceremony of III's brother that day. Ruby agreed on the condition that they'll bring the children to her by 9 p.m. Ruby went to the house of her sister Rochelle in Moonwalk Village, Parañaque to wait for her children. She grew impatient when 9 p.m. came and III still hadn't turned up with their daughters at the door and he wasn't answering any of her texts or calls. At around 10:30 p.m., Ruby brought Rochelle to their house in BF Homes, but neither III nor attorney Jimenez was there with Ruby's daughters. Ruby waited there with Rochelle until 3 a.m. the following day, but none of the Jimenezes came home with her children. It soon became clear that III wasn't going to let their two children stay with Ruby, so she filed a writ of habeas corpus for III to produce their children in court. She also submitted a request for provisional custody with protection order to grant Ruby custody of the children and to protect herself from III's physical abuse. According to Article 213 of the Family Code of the Philippines, quote, "No child under 7 years of age shall be separated from the mother unless the court finds compelling reasons to do otherwise," end quote. But Judge Gloria Aglugub of the Las Piñas Regional Trial Court, Branch 254, denied Ruby's petitions, also citing the Family Code that, quote, "The court shall take into account all relevant considerations, especially the choice of the child over 7 years of age, unless the parent chosen is unfit," end quote. According to Aglugub's decision, Ruby voluntarily left her husband and children at the house they all lived in. Her eldest daughter, 7-year-old Marga, allegedly chose to stay with her father as her school was closer to BF Homes, and Ruby and III both agreed on that arrangement. Though the ruling didn't make sense, as Ruby wouldn't have filed the petition in the first place to gain custody of her children if she was truly okay with the arrangement for them to stay with III, Ruby had been able to visit her daughters at BF Homes from time to time. On March 14, 2007, Ruby left Rochelle's house at 12:30 p.m. so she could go to the bank and visit her children. At around 4 p.m., a friend called Rochelle asking where Ruby was, as Ruby's three phone numbers had been unreachable for hours. Rochelle asked around, including at III's house in BF Homes, but she was told that Ruby hadn't been there that day. When evening came, Rochelle reported to the police her missing sister and Ruby's missing car. She continued her search until around 4 a.m. the following day, going to hospitals and driving around nearby Alabang. She still couldn't find her sister, and there would be no major leads on her disappearance until 2 years later. Rochelle, her brother, and their parents never gave up on their search for Ruby. They put up a 500,000 peso reward to find her and distributed flyers everywhere. Rochelle, a beauty pageant candidate turned actress, used her relationship with the media to appeal to the public for help. And on May 18, 2009, someone, out of conscience, came forward with a confession. Manuel Montero claimed to be the former Chief Operations Officer of Buena Suerte Jimenez Fishing and Trading, or BSJ, a company owned by III's father, Attorney Jimenez, and III's uncle, Lope Jimenez. Montero confessed his participation in Ruby's murder and named his co-conspirators Leonard Spike Descalzo, who was Third's bodyguard, Robert Ponce, who was a BSJ employee, Eric Fernandez, who was Lope Jimenez's driver, and Lope Jimenez himself, though the true masterminds of the crime were Third and attorney Jimenez. According to Montero, the plan to kill Ruby because she was bringing shame to the Jimenez family with a custody battle was formed on March 12, 2007 inside a conference room at the BSJ office. 2 days later, on March 14, they executed the plan when Ruby came to the house in BF Homes to visit her children. That evening, Ruby and her car were taken to a BSJ warehouse in the adjacent city of Malabon. Descalzo strangled Ruby to death with a rope. They cuffed her hands and bound her feet in rope, then crammed her body in a large drum, poured cement inside, and sealed it. They then placed the drum in a steel box, which they also filled with cement, and Montero himself welded it shut. Finally, they took the steel box on a skip boat off the Navota shoreline and let it drop down to the seafloor of Manila Bay. The following day, on March 15, 2007, Montero, Descalzo, Ponce, and Fernandez each received a compensation of 50,000 pesos, or around 1,000 US dollars for the job. Montero even heard Descalzo on the phone inside the BSJ conference room, and when he asked him what the conversation was about, Descalzo told him it was Third, who said Descalzo would be receiving an additional cash bonus. On May 18, 2009, Montero executed a sworn statement with his confession. He pointed the Philippine National Police to where exactly on the map they should recover the steel box, and in the evening of June 9, 2009, the box was found in the waters close to the location given by Montero. Because the waves were too strong, the box was raised from the waters the next day. It was opened in the evening by PNP Crime Lab experts for a grueling 4 hours, with Montero providing instructions on which parts to hit with a hammer to avoid smashing Ruby's head. On June 11, 2009, Montero executed his second sworn statement confirming the details of his confession, and 2 months later, in August 2009, the Department of Justice filed murder charges against Manuel Montero, Leonard Descalzo, Eric Fernandez, Robert Ponce, and attorney Manuel Jimenez Jr. at the Malabon RTC Branch 170. It was only in March 2010 that parricide charges were filed against Third, adding him as a co-conspirator to the crime. Meanwhile, Ponce was still at large and didn't respond to the subpoena issued for him, and Montero entered the witness protection program and became a state witness for the prosecution. An autopsy performed by the PNP Crime Lab confirmed that the cause of death of the body in the steel box was asphyxiation. Ruby's dental records matched the cadaver's dental x-ray, confirming that the body was Ruby's. The Jimenezes, however, weren't as convinced. The defense pointed out that tooth 14, or the right maxillary first molar, was missing, based on Ruby's dental records from 1996. The body in the steel box didn't have a gap where tooth 14 would have been, but according to the prosecution, Ruby had worn braces to fix the gap after the removal of that tooth. The defense also argued that the cadaver's height was 5 feet 6 inches or 1.68 meters, but Ruby's height was 5 feet 9 inches or 1.75 meters. The prosecution's response was that the body being crammed in a steel drum and buried in concrete and underwater for 2 years would have deteriorated the bone structure. Though the Jimenezes believed that Ruby could still be alive somewhere, Ruby's sister Rochelle and the rest of the Barramedas were convinced that that body was Ruby's, especially since Rochelle could remember and had recorded on video Ruby wearing the same clothes before she went missing as those found worn by the body in the steel box. The defense denied Montero's claims that the Jimenezes were behind Ruby's disappearance and murder, saying that if anyone was the most guilty, it was Montero himself who had directly and actively participated in all phases of the alleged crime. The court proceedings dragged on, and in February 2012, the Court of Appeals suspended the hearings indefinitely following Attorney Jimenez's petition for inhibition filed against Malabon RTC's presiding judge Zaldi Docena. Attorney Jimenez accused Docena of partiality toward the Barramedas, particularly when he allowed Montero to become a state witness for the prosecution. Attorney Jimenez also pointed out that Docena was the classmate of head prosecutor Theodore Villanueva at Ateneo Law School. The Court of Appeals granted Attorney Jimenez's petition and re-raffled the case in May 2012, but reversed its ruling after a motion for reconsideration was filed by the prosecution. On November 7, 2012, Robert Ponce, one of the co-conspirators Montero named who was still at large, was arrested by the National Bureau of Investigation in Cagayan, Isabela after a three-month surveillance based on a tip that he had been hiding out in the province. According to Ponce, he had been receiving a monthly allowance of 7,000 pesos or around $140 from the Jimenezes through LBC in exchange for keeping out of sight after his role in Ruby's murder. Ponce said he didn't see exactly who killed Ruby, but he was ordered to help in the disposal and he himself mixed and poured the cement over the dead body. On March 20, 2013, in a surprising turn of events, Montero escaped from witness protection in Camp Bagong Diwa, Taguig. 2 months later, he recanted his testimony in his third sworn statement, handwritten and filed before the court on May 12, 2013, where he wrote that everything he had said against the Jimenezes had been lies. Montero had since vanished and was never heard from again. According to Rochelle, she had been in contact with Montero when he was still in Camp Bagong Diwa, and though he was clearly frightened for himself and his family, he was intent on cooperating with the Baramedas to bring the Jimenezes to justice. His sudden disappearance then could only mean someone wanted him silenced. With Montero's recantation, Third submitted an appeal for his parricide indictment, but in December 2013, the Court of Appeals affirmed the indictment and approved the filing of a murder case against Third's uncle, Lope Jimenez. The court also dismissed the defense's argument that the body in the steel box could not have been Ruby. The case was then referred to the Navotas RTC. In November 2015, the Malabon RTC expunged from their records Montero's unfinished testimony, ruling that the previously sworn statements couldn't be admitted as evidence. It's unclear whether Ponce's confession that he had a role in the murder and had been getting paid by the Jimenezes had been disproven in court, but according to most online sources, Montero's recantation left only the testimonies of the police officers who recovered Ruby's body from the waters, which couldn't sufficiently link the Jimenezes to the murder. In 2017, Judge Zaldi Docena was suspended by the Supreme Court for 2 years for irregular issuance of search warrants. Judge Edwin Larida Jr., also of the Malabon RTC, took over the case as acting presiding judge, and on July 10, 2019, he dismissed the murder cases against Attorney Jimenez, Descalzo, and Ponce, as well as the parricide case against Ruby's husband, Third. On September 23, 2019, the prosecution filed a motion for reconsideration of the parricide case's dismissal and called for Judge Larida to inhibit himself from the case, pointing out that the Justice Department's finding of probable cause to file the parricide charge was affirmed by the Office of the President, Court of Appeals, and Supreme Court, so if Larida dismissed the case due to a lack of probable cause, it could only be due to bias in favor of the accused. The court denied these accusations, though Larida inhibited himself from the case on September 27 and was replaced by Judge Zaldi Docena, who had come back from suspension. On November 18, 2019, Docena denied the motion for reconsideration filed by the prosecution to reverse Larida's dismissal of the parricide and murder charges. Docena reiterated that the evidence thus far admitted against the accused was utterly insufficient. He also maintained, pertaining to Larida's decision, that the court had, quote, neither error of judgment nor of jurisdiction, and not even grave abuse of discretion, end quote. In a separate order dated December 11, 2019, for lack of probable cause, Docena granted Lope Jimenez and Eric Fernandez's motion to cancel the warrants of arrest issued against them, effectively dismissing the murder charges filed against them. Ruby was laid to rest at the Manila Memorial Park in Parañaque on June 17, 2009, 7 days after her body was discovered in a steel box in Manila Bay. Her wake and her burial were attended by hundreds of people, but not once did her husband Third allow their daughters Marga and Martha to even make an appearance. The urgent motion filed by Ruby's parents to allow the children's attendance was dismissed by Judge Gloria Aglukub of the Las Piñas RTC. According to Aglukub, she spoke on the phone with Ruby's eldest daughter, Marga, even offering to pick her up herself, but Marga had no interest in going to the wake or burial of her own mother. Ruby's sister Rochelle said they had sent a letter asking for help from then-President Gloria Macapagal Arroyo, and Rochelle had held a news briefing at the Manila Memorial Park appealing to Aglugub to grant the petition. But the funeral came and went, and the Baramedas never saw the children again. In June 2012, the Baramedas expressed their intent to file criminal and administrative charges against Aglugub for her apparent partiality to Third, particularly during the custody battle, as they believed Ruby might still be alive today if she had just been granted custody of her children. It's unclear as of this recording, based on information available online, whether the Barameda family have since had contact with Ruby's two daughters, or whether they did file those charges against Aglugub. It had been a long legal battle of more than a decade, which exhausted the Barameda family both emotionally and financially, as they were against opponents far wealthier and more powerful than them. In 2019, Rochelle ran for a seat at the Parañaque City Council and won, intent not just in bringing positive change to the city, but also using her platform to continue pursuing justice for her slain sister, Ruby. Manuel Montero is still missing as of this recording, but the Baramedas are hopeful that he's still alive somewhere. Until he resurfaces or evidence comes to light that he's already dead, the case on the murder of Ruby Rose Barameda might remain closed forever. Thank you for listening to Stories After Dark, a Spotify exclusive powered by Anchor. Stay tuned next week for a new episode, and to make sure you're updated about the show, please follow Stories After Dark on your Spotify app as well as on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This episode was written, narrated, and produced by me, Derek. Music is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. If you'd like to see the references used for this episode, suggest cases, send personal stories, or further support the show, you can go to storiesafterdark.ph for more information. All of the links are in the episode description.